This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's start with you, Dr. Nkize. It's good to have you on Power Perspective. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you very much for having me.
Were you excited at the prospect of level one, at the prospect of having more people come in again and enjoy the theatres? It's been, of course, a very tough almost 2 years of trying to, a year and a half perhaps, trying to battle this pandemic that has disrupted life. But as we know, the sector as well has been hit brutally as well.
Yes, we are excited, even though we have tried as a theatre since May last year, actually, when we were still at level four, to make sure that we don't just shut everything down. We started even at that time to look for or explore other ways of making sure that we reach out to our audiences. But of course, it's been a turbulent time. It's been devastating, not only for us as institutions, but also for the entire sector, nationally and internationally. So now that we're at level one, we are excited, and we have already started rehearsals for some of the shows. And actually, some of our shows are already on stage as we speak, opening this week. And we are looking forward to an exciting summer program.
So much of theatre is the experience of also being in a theatre. And so in as much as there have been attempts at innovation, attempts at leveraging digital platforms, productions and so on there, which is quite interesting, the experience just wasn't the same, was it?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the same. But what we are also seeing is that it's not only us as South Africans who are exploring new ways of delivering theatre, of connecting with our audiences. And all over the world, the arts and culture sector, people are looking for other ways of making sure that we stay connected. Hence, we started with our online artistic program. And most recently, in June, we began with our partnership with Stekineko, because at the end of the day, we can't just fold our arms and shut our doors whenever we're at level three or level four or level five. Mm-hmm. We still have to continue finding ways of keeping our artists employed, also to make sure that we save both lives and livelihoods.
Let's bring in Vincent Modau, who is the GM at the Soweto Theatre. Vincent, thank you for joining us. Good evening to you.
Good evening, Sarah, and to your listeners.
Where we find ourselves now with this pandemic, all sorts of measures that have been taken place, all sorts of industries, of course, trying to figure out how to stay alive. What did it look like for yourselves as the Soweto Theatre?
As recently appointed as the GM at Soweto Theatre, I'll actually speak more on the experience that I have from Joburg Theatre as a searching support manager. So personally, what I've experienced is that we have been actually really cautious and strictly adhering to the protocols and the regulation in terms of COVID, and also to try to protect our audiences, our patrons, our stakeholders, and also our colleagues. And also we have tried to work from home, as my colleague from State Theatre, Dr. Kiza, indicated that we actually try to find new ways relatively in the industry to make sure that we actually become, obviously we are from the creative industry in any case, so we actually tried to make sure that we are staying in touch with our patrons by actually streaming live content that we had on our archives, and to make sure that we stay relevant, and then so that we our patrons then really forget about our existence. And also to make sure that we keep in touch with them and promoting the upcoming shows. And we not only about just the patrons, we also consider the theatre practitioners or the art practitioners as well, to make sure that we are in touch with them. And like one of the productions that we actually have had was to actually to bring in the artists to help other artists and patrons from home by actually shooting their breathing techniques from our theatres and also spreading the word by streaming those content.
Tell us a bit how the early days were, Vincent, in trying to, I suppose, cultivate a new way of consuming the arts. You know, for art lovers, would be going out to the theatre on a Thursday night, Friday night, or an afternoon on a Sunday. Now suddenly you're being told by a lot more data, so you can stream or engage differently. How did you approach that? Just the marketing, reaching out to people. Just give us a sense of what that experience was like.
It was definitely hard, as to everyone else. But then, like what we did from Joburg City Theatres, which is a collective which both Soweto Theatre, Rosepo Theatre, and Joburg Theatre falls under. What we have done is to make sure that, like as I said, to stay relevant in terms of on the media platforms, like on print, also on social media, and also streaming live productions as well. So, but then, like as I said previously, that we make sure that we stay in touch with our patrons, stakeholders, and all of that, and to make sure that we actually stay in contact with them, to make sure that they don't actually forget that there's still theatre exists, and we're still hopeful that one day we will overcome this pandemic and we'll all get together in the same auditorium and enjoy the artistic offering.
Bridget Mashika is the CEO of the Joburg Theatre. Thank you for your time this evening with us. Bridget, are you well?
Thank you, sir. I'm well, thank you.
Let's talk a bit about, I suppose, managing a number of stakeholders, if you will, right? So you have to work with producers, you have to work with artists. You had plans as a sector, as the theatre as well. I don't think we talk enough really about the complete value chain of the theatre, the number of people as well who are affected by this. Give us a sense again of how you manage that as the theatre, Bridget. And if you added to that, if you can speak to how the Department of Arts and Culture have come to the party or haven't come to the party to support the sector.
Thank you, Sebe. Most definitely. The value chain is consists of quite a number of stakeholders, and the most challenging thing during this time was the uncertainty, because we kept planning, and plan to cancel, plan to postpone. For example, for the first time in 2020, we've had to postpone our biggest production, the year-end production, which is the pantomime. Now, we have a number of creatives that are involved in that. We have writers, we have directors, we have your choreographers. That's just quite a big team that is involved in the company for producing an in-house production like that. So, that uncertainty, I think, for us was just a major challenge. But what we tried to do was to say, maybe let's not cancel most of the productions. Let's try and postpone and see what can we do at a later stage. While doing that, let's try and see what are other small productions that we can look into. So when we started going on level 3 and we were allowed for the first time to do recordings, to assist artists with their sharpening their craft and all that, we started open the theater at that point, and we just made sure that we are accessible to them. We're giving them space so that at least they still come to the theater, because we know that artists are live on stage, and I hear the issue of the virtual and the digital platform. It actually is not who we are. Yes, we will keep trying. We will try and make sure that we are available everywhere. But the fun of the theater is being on stage and seeing the artist live. So we try to make sure that we keep that happening. We usually rent out our space for producers to bring in their work. And then we have also another platform where we co-produce with them. So we share certain costs and we split the revenue. And then we have the in-house production. So what we did during this time is that with most of the rentals, because we understood the situation that producers also don't have money, but they want to create work. So let's not rent out the venue. Let's try and see if we can partner with them in some sort. So we would partner with them so that with a system where we can, with certain digital marketing where possible. Luckily, the audiences, when we were on the 50s and the 100s, we would have sold out houses. But that's tragic because sold out in a 250-seater with 50 people really doesn't bring any return for them, you know. It was just a matter of trying to balance. But what we did, for example, from June when we went back to level 2 to level 4, was to start planning to say, how do we make sure that we are ready when we open? So we started planning again, talking to producers, drafting contracts. So, I mean, we have our 2022 almost filled now. We're just finalizing contracts. We have the pantomime that has started rehearsing now. Again, the one that was postponed in 2020, it has started rehearsing now. We've planned for Festival of Lights at the zoo.
Beautiful.
So work is continuing, and we have tried where we could to say, let's assist artists, let's assist the creatives, producers, everyone, when we can.
On the question around kind of support from whether it's from the department, even
the
provincial
department.
What did that look like?
Okay, so the theatre is under the city of Johannesburg. So we get our subsidy from the city of Johannesburg, and that's what has assisted us in being able to continue, although not on a full scale, but at least we were able to do some work in order to support. So we were lucky enough on that instance, because we also have in the city the Department of Arts, Culture and Heritage under City of Johannesburg, which have also assisted us in some of the productions that we had to do. For example, we had an opera season twice, which was Kantiamo, with local vocals, the opera singers, and choirs. And the department came and assisted us with funding for that production. So I must say, for Joburg City Theatres, we have been lucky in that instance that the city of Joburg has been very supportive in ensuring that we still survive and the artists that we can assist survive.
Dr. Mkhize, let's talk sustainability, because these conditions are going to be with us for a long time still. Going back to the way things used to be done, I don't think will ever happen, really. We all have to kind of just adjust and adapt and try and for as far as possible, really, to create the same experience, but of course being mindful that it's different conditions. And I imagine also from your own role as well, where you have to think about sustainability, still meet your own targets. How are you thinking about it differently now?
Well, I think fortunately for us, the issue of long-term sustainability of the theatre is something that we started thinking about when I joined the State Theatre in 2015. So around 2016, actually, we had already started with even recording most of our shows to build archives. We also made sure that in the way we deliver our business, we have this hybrid model of doing business, making sure that we've got our own productions, but also rentals, just like Joburg Theatre. But also at the same time, we started experimenting. For example, last year when we started having challenges with the commercial viability of delivering our offerings, we thought it won't make commercial sense for us to perform in a 1,300-seater for 50 people. But if there's an allowance for us to play outside, have an outdoor concert or an outdoor theatre activity within the precinct of the State Theatre, and then attract 250 people, we do that. So I think we've been trying a new innovative and creative ways of delivering theatre. For example, if it doesn't make sense financially for us to bring people from KwaZulu-Natal to Pretoria at the State Theatre, why not partner with Playhouse? Actually, we have partnered with Playhouse to have the State Theatre at the Playhouse, mm-hmm. the State Theatre at Bester Theatre, and recently we had the State Theatre in Sibokeng at the Luthando Arts Academy to deliver a trilogy on dance. So there are many ways of actually delivering a theatre for the State Theatre, and it doesn't have to be tied to the physical space, which is the State Theatre in Pretoria. So what COVID has given us actually is an opportunity to look at other ways of doing business, while at the same time making sure that we balance the fiscal stability with the artistic creativity. And I think we are all going through a very difficult time. There is budget cuts, there is reprioritization. So the arts and culture sector is the one that has been suffering greatly as compared to other sectors. And we are forced. It doesn't matter how we try to resist. We have to think of better ways or many other ways of delivering our product offerings. And that's what we have been doing. We've even continued to deliver on our development programs, running workshops all over the country, be it KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. So that's what we have been doing. Even we have gone as far as Mafikeng, but we have tried as much as possible to partner with other institutions in those provinces so that the State Theatre continues to be visible in Cape Town without having to pay money to fly people to Pretoria, but actually pay people money to perform where they are, which is a theatre in Cape Town or a theatre in KZN or a theatre in Sebokeng. So those are some of the ways that we have been coming up with to say, for example, when we had our festivals in April, the Gucheza Festival, the Youth Festival, the Vavasati Women's Festival. That's what we do. In fact, now we are building up for the Zanzi Fela Festival. But I think given the fact that the numbers are improving, we are likely now to have all our activities in the theatre. But as I said, whenever there is restrictions around audience numbers, we find ways to make sure that in a responsible manner, adhering to all the health protocols, we try and deliver our program.
It's a very big property also, that you have lots of space. I haven't been there in a couple of years now, but there were restaurants and so on. How has the use of space changed significantly, but also in thinking about, of course, how to remain sustainable? How are you thinking about using the space where, kind of audiences being limited every so often, and that not being enough, in fact, to keep you going? How else are you leveraging the space?
Well, I think that has been a serious challenge since last year, and it does not just affect the State Theatre, but I think the property sector all over the world and all over the country, you find that as people are working from home, it means there's fewer people going to town, fewer people using our parking, and also fewer people using offices. And the restaurants were actually devastated last year. In fact, we used to have a restaurant that closed down in April, and it never opened. But fortunately, we do have a new restaurant now that has just opened. And we are hoping that as things improve in terms of relaxation of restrictions, the economy will pick up again and we'll have more people. But of course, the reality is that most of the companies that rent on our spaces are art organizations. So as part of that value chain now, they find themselves not being able to have money to pay rent, and you find that some of them actually don't even receive support, whether it's from Department of Arts and Culture or from the Lotto. So those things do affect us as a theatre, because now we are part of this chain of supporting the arts and culture sector. Yes, these are difficult times, but we are hoping that things will improve.
Absolutely. My guests this evening are Dr. Sibongiseni Mkhize, who's the CEO of the South African State Theatre, Vincent Modau, who's the GM of the Soweto Theatre, and Bridget Mashika, who is the Chief Operating Officer at the Joburg Theatre. Remember, the line's open for you at 0861-987-000. In a moment, we'll talk about upcoming productions, what you and I can enjoy as well as early as this weekend, actually. Remember to tweet us as well at Seven Gambula and at Power FM 987.
Power Perspective with Seven Zile Gambule. Monday to Thursday, 8 p.m. to midnight on Power 98.7.
All right, let's get a sense of what's coming up. What's coming up in the theatres with my guests this evening, Vincent. Give us a sense of what people can look forward to. We are now in the festive mode already. You're already starting to see Christmas decorations in shopping malls or so on. So we are essentially in that mode already as a country. So what are things looking like for at the Soweto Theatre, not only for people in Soweto, but of course anybody really who can make their way to catch something there?
Thank you. For Soweto Theatre, mostly we do have the music tuition programs and all of that, but I'm excited more as because one of my actually project that I've been working on since 2019, as you mentioned, the festive season, we're actually having for JCT, which is Joburg City Theatres, we have the Festival of Lights in partnership with both City Power and Joburg Zoo. Mm-hmm. So this event is actually opening up on the 25th of November until the 3rd of January next year at Joburg Zoo, and tickets are available on Joburg Theatre website. And also at Joburg Theatre as well, we also have the music, Jovin Food and Music Saturdays. This event was a brainchild of the JCT to make sure that in support to the artists and also the food industry, whereby we were both actually hit by COVID and the lockdown restrictions, extend this service to both the artists and the food and beverages industry. So we're having that event every second Saturday at Joburg Theatre. Book your tickets through Joburg Theatre website. It's for free. We have live music, and also we have in sundowners from 4 to 6, and then at 6 o'clock the live music begins with DJs, and we also have food and beverages special with regards to that. And then moving to Soweto Theatre, like I just said, it's more focused on youth development, so most of our activities have been currently rentals and also on the youth and development spectrum.
Have you seen a bit of a dip in the numbers of young or would be thespians or up and coming artists really that that you look to reach as a theatre that works within the community as well? Have you seen that, or has they been kind of a good commitment as well, even as times have been as uncertain as they are?
Didn't hear the last part.
Even in these uncertain times, have you seen really a good level of commitment from the young people, the young artists that you work with at the theatre?
Yes, they actually remain committed even within their own groups, in their own spaces. They're hungry for this platform. With now that we're opening up the theatres, they're actually approaching us, sending us proposals to say, can you actually partner in terms of offering us spaces and all of that, so that they can actually showcase their talent. And we actually open up for that to make sure that we support the participants, the arts practitioners, and also the art industry at large. As I'm saying that with the music program, it's not just about thespians, it's also expanding to music and also food and beverages as well, industry.
Brilliant. Bridget, you made the point earlier about how the pandemic has also been an opportunity for local artists and local work as well. You know, kind of productions that travel are also a huge selling point in, you know, when people have been dying to see a project that's been in different parts of the world, or even artists who are based elsewhere and we get a chance to see them here. Are we likely to continue to see more of those? But I mean, the benefit really for local artists, perhaps, who would have to wait a bit longer for their opportunity, their opportunity is now, and we should welcome that, isn't it?
Most definitely, Sebi. We are trying to reach as much as we can of the artists and creatives out there. Unfortunately, at this point, we can only try to make them travel locally, but nothing internationally. One of the projects that we've been working on is the school set works, where we did Sizwebanzi is Dead in the Island with Dr. John Kani. Mm. He trained two young artists who really were lucky to work under him during this period. We opened it at the theater from Thursday last week. It's traveling to schools now. So instead of, because we know that kids cannot come to the theaters, I think the restrictions are still not allowing them to go on excursions, so we're going to them. Mm-hmm. So we've had schools book, and then we started on Monday taking it the theater to the schools. So at least the artist gets to travel with this production. It is a small traveling suitcase company, which has got about three artists. But it's something to them. It's something big to them. And I mean, one of the artists comes from Cape Town. So we are trying to bring those who are in Cape Town to come to Joburg as much as we can. The pantomime, I mean, it's got a big cast. We have over 25 actors on that, which we are looking forward to, which will be opening on the 7th of November. So it's something that we are going to continue doing. And as soon as things start opening even more, we should be ready. So this time, really, we're using to prepare. And like I said, next year, our calendar for 2022 is almost full. We're just finalizing contracts. We are celebrating 60 years anniversary as Joburg Theatre.
Wow.
So there's quite a lot coming up for us next year. Exciting program. I just can't announce it now, but just look out for it. It will be coming out very soon. Exciting stuff coming up for next year.
Brilliant. I love the fact that the schools are getting to see more of the work. That's always exciting.
You
mentioned the Festival of Lights that's coming up. You said you're prepping for the panto, but that's for next year, not this year?
It's this year, starting 7th November, year is opening. We're doing Cinderella this year. It's going to be so exciting. What we did during the lockdown, we upgraded our stages. They were almost 60 years old and needed a big revamp. So this was an opportunity for us to do that. So I think people should look forward to seeing what we're going to be presenting on that stage. We're just transforming it into high-tech 21st century ride of spectacular effects. So people just need to come and see what we've done on those stages. It's something to look forward to.
Love it. Oh, but now, Bridget, when you talk about revamping and so on, I worry, are you not going to charge us an arm and a leg for tickets?
Definitely not. In fact, our prices haven't changed. We've tried to keep our prices at a minimum. And some of the things that we're going to do, Sarah, is to make sure that we attract our audiences. We push the issue of people vaccinating. We're going to have some special for people who are vaccinated. So we're going to try and bring more people to the theatre. That's what we need right now. Like Vincent has said, we had to keep on top of mind of people. And now it's a matter of bringing them back, just reminding them who we are, what magic theatre can provide. So we're going to make it very accessible this year.
Brilliant. Very happy to hear that the prices are not going to hurt us, which is lovely. finally, Dr. Mkhize, what's your calendar looking like? What can the people of Tshwane, but not only the people of Tshwane, all of us, in fact, make time for in this festive period?
Yes, I think as a theatre, we also look at the way we look at our artistic calendar. We plan ahead. We are already working on finalizing 2022, 2023. But for the rest of this financial year, for this quarter, which started in October, we already have shows. Because I think that what the State Theatre has done, and we have done it successfully, is to I think reaffirm our Pan-African identity and make sure that we invest in local South African talent, be it for smaller shows or even for large-scale musicals. So if you want to see a South African musical, a new musical, you know that the State Theatre invests heavily on that, where you might find that you see new faces that you have never seen before. So we already have exciting things. We've got Mercy that started on the 1st. We have Mr. President started 2 days ago. We also have children's shows, Tokoloho, which is starting on the 13th. We have also shows like Mkuku Experience, which was part of the Youth Expression Festival in June. But some of the things had to be moved because, remember, in June, the president had to adjust the lockdown levels down. I think we ended up finding ourselves unable to stage any public gatherings. So now some of those shows that could not take place then will be coming back. We have Tsoho, which is a show based on the story of Umama Charlotte Maxeke. Another exciting story because the theme for this year for our government, for arts and culture, and for the African Union is the year of Charlotte Maxeke, and we have to celebrate her because she is one of our own. So that's what we'll be doing. We also have a show called Nguvu ya Mbengu, but that one will be hosting it. We'll be holding it at Theatre Arts in Cape Town. We have Shaka Zulu, The Gaping Wound, on the 21st of October to the 14th of November, written by the late Bongani Linda. Another exciting production musical, and that one makes it even more exciting because as we speak now, there is a succession dispute within the Zululand royal family. So I'm hoping that people will really learn a lot from that one in terms of providing a historical context to the current events. We also have some concerts towards the end of the month, amapiano concerts. But also, like I said earlier, we also still have our Stay Kineko partnership production because for the first time in the African continent, a theatre is partnered with a cinema. And included in that is actually a show from Nigeria that came to the State Theatre in 2019, where we brought a whole company of about 65 people from Nigeria to come and perform a show on the life of Fela Kuti. So those are the things that are happening at the State Theatre. But of course, in December, the whole world knows that we have our Mzansi Fela Festival, which we are finalizing now because the numbers or the audience restrictions have changed. So we will be able now to deliver that program in full, which will be a program of concerts the whole of December. So there are exciting things that we are putting on stage as a theatre.
Brilliant, brilliant. And we hope that as many, many audiences, in fact, will make their way so that we can enjoy what theatre has to offer. That's where we'll leave it. And thank you very much to all three of my guests. Thoroughly enjoyed that conversation. Bridget Mashika, Joburg Theatre's COO, Vincent Modau, who's the GM of the Soweto Theatre, as well as Dr. Sponsen Mkize, who's the CEO of the South African State Theatre. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.